From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, December 6, 2018. And on this day, many school districts in Maine aren't able to fill all their bus driver positions. But in some rural areas where kids can't walk to school, the need is especially acute. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light, now through December 31st. MaineGardens.org.
A Superior Court justice today issued a decision denying the LePage administration's request for a stay on a court order to expand Medicaid. But as Patty White reports, she did delay the sign-up start date.
The decision from Justice Michaela Murphy admonished the LePage administration's claims that complying with a court order to expand Medicaid would cause Maine's Department of Health and Human Services irreparable harm. She referred to the department's assertion that it would suffer imminent fiscal calamity as, quote, fiction. Murphy also noted that hundreds of Mainers who've tried to gain health coverage are stuck in limbo. However, she did push the deadline for the state to begin enrolling applicants back by almost 2 months, from December 5th to February 1st of next year.
While we don't like the delay, I think there is value in having this handled and implemented by the next administration that actually believes in it.
That's Robin Merrill of Maine Equal Justice Partners, the group leading the lawsuit to force the LePage administration to implement Medicaid expansion. She's urging the estimated 70,000 eligible Mainers to enroll because the effective date of the law is retroactive to July 2nd, as directed in an earlier court order. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And school districts in Maine are in desperate need of bus drivers. It's particularly serious in some rural communities where custodians and office assistants are being asked to get behind the wheel. Robbie Feinberg reports on how some districts are trying to avert a crisis.
Here in the bus garage for the Oxford Hills School District, Transportation Director Dave Fontaine looks out on a parking lot full of buses, all waiting to be serviced.
But we've got those four, and we've probably got another six in the backyard that aren't road ready right now because they're waiting for something because we just haven't had a chance.
The district has nearly half a dozen staffers to maintain its fleet of vans and buses. But this year, Fontaine says they've all been called to another duty. On some afternoons, he says almost the entire transportation department, including him and his office assistant, are out driving the buses.
We actually had one day this fall where we had to call up residents of West Paris and ask them to pick up their own kids at school today because we just didn't have a driver that afternoon. We were just so short.
Oxford Hills, like several school districts around the state, is dealing with a bus driver shortage of crisis proportions. A spokesperson for the Maine Department of Education says the agency doesn't track the number of bus driver openings statewide, but the education job listing website servingschools.org lists 54 openings in Maine. One school official in Androscoggin County said that when he contacted five nearby districts, they were collectively short more than 30 drivers. Some observers say the reason for the shortage is national in scope.
It's kind of a function of the economy, which it's a healthy economy, but that doesn't work so well for some of these positions.
Dan Chuda, the superintendent of SAD 75 in Topsom, says many bus driving positions are part-time and require early shifts. Drivers also need to take a written test, earn a permit, then accrue 40 hours of training. Many districts provide staff and buses to teach future drivers, but the whole process can take months, which officials say can discourage some applicants. SAD 52, which covers Turner, Leeds, and Green in rural Androscoggin County, was down seven drivers earlier this fall. That's more than a quarter of the entire bus fleet. Transportation Director Dan LaBrie says on some days he was forced to hand out maps and route sheets to maintenance workers who relied on students to help them find their houses.
And even some mornings of if we didn't have someone to physically drive that bus route, just kind of cutting that bus route up on the fly, calling bus drivers over the radio, you know, you got to pick up this road and this bus number will pick up this road. You know, at a moment's notice, having a maintenance worker, a custodian, anyone that has a license was getting in a bus for me.
LaBrie says the district nearly resorted to double runs. That's when a driver picks up a bus full of kids, drops them off at school, then leaves again and picks up more kids for another route, which might get them to school more than an hour late. The district managed to avoid this worst-case scenario by launching an advertising blitz, putting up yard signs across the district. And it got results. LaBrie says most of the vacancies have since been filled.
If things do go awry, I've got the staff in place to help address that, and we can still get students to school in a timely manner.
Other districts have resorted to offering sign-on bonuses of up to $1,500 to entice new drivers. The York School Department, meanwhile, has proposed a new cluster stop system in which students walk to bus stops instead of being picked up right at their door. Parents pushed back on the plan, though, and it's since been put on hold.
Hey, you guys!
And back at the Oxford Hills bus garage, Transportation Director Dave Fontaine says his department turned to a solution in the past that has helped to keep the bus driver crisis at least manageable. 3 years ago, Fontaine helped launch a so-called walking school bus at Guy E. Rowe Elementary School, which is located centrally in the town of Norway. Under this system, volunteers guide dozens of students across town on foot, and they walk to school together, even on cold winter days. Fontaine says without that program,
we'd be down one more driver, which would probably mean that'd be me driving every day doing that Norway run, because that's where we're almost at right now, is I'm the next backup driver every time.
The walking school bus is also used in Portland, but SAD 52's Dan LaBrie says while it may help in urban areas, it'd likely be impossible in most of rural Maine.
I mean, short of, you know, just this one street out front of this building, otherwise after that, it's you're dealing with 55 mile an hour speed limit going down the road right out of here, so yeah, it just wouldn't work over here.
LaBrie says that means his district and other rural schools will need to keep scouting for and training new drivers just to make sure the shortage doesn't get any worse. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, December 6, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.